Previously on Algoa FM.
Gqeberha's own Nwabisa Makhunga, former editor with the Herald and Sowetan, and now appointed MD of News and Media for Arena Holdings to lead the strategic direction for Sunday Times, Sowetan, Business Day, Financial Mail, and their digital platforms. What is it all about, Nwabisa?
My mandate, more than anything, is really to drive our digital transformation. Yes, we do have, you know, iconic print publications, and we want to be able to keep those relevant and alive as much as possible. But I think we do actually understand that, you know, our future is a digital one. And so how do we drive a digital transformation strategy? That is pretty much what my job will be going forward.
It is a very important portfolio. I mean, anybody that does not have that portfolio in their institution is probably going to regret it, because as much as we love newspapers, they are fast becoming our past. Although we must say that there are people who still love their newspaper.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so absolutely. So what we understand, South Africa is obviously quite a diverse nation. Yes, there's been a decline as far as print journalism is concerned. It's just the print platforms all over the world, right? And that's really to do with consumption patterns of people, etc. However, there is quite a segment of, you know, of South Africa and the African continent, I think, who are still married to the idea of having a print platform, and this is why, you know, it still remains part of our strategy. So how do we make how do we serve those audiences and serve them well with that platform? But I think we also understand that, you know, a huge market is really one that is about, you know, digital transformation, and these people who are, you know, consuming their content on digital platforms. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I mean, that's pretty much where we are at. But also, how do we ensure that we keep quality? How do we ensure that we continue to innovate as far as that space is concerned? How do we find you, our audience, where you are, rather than saying, come to us, within the frameworks that we are willing to give you our news? So how do we ensure that, you know, you easily access our content, but also you're easily able to use it and share it and actually find it valuable?
Well, one of the questions that keeps coming up, from young journalists that I work with at the university is whether, you know, is the world going to need journalists less now? Because people have the feeling that they've got direct access to information and that they don't need a reporter between them and the story. Are we going to need journalists less?
I think the world needs journalism now more than ever. I think the world is a hugely complex and complicated place. Mm. And the role of journalism has actually changed dramatically. So there was a time, you know, where journalism was pretty much about, you know, platforms of record. So we tell you that this has happened and you figure out kind of your way around it. And I think now, because everybody else will tell you that this has happened, we need to be able to tell you why this happened, how it happened. We need to be able to tell you what it tells you about, you know, the world in which you live in, try and uncomplicate, you know, all of these concepts for you. But also importantly, we need to be able to help you understand what is credible and what is not.
Yep.
And that's really the sweet spot that journalism needs to be able to fulfill. So we are no longer the people who just simply tell you, oh, a thing happened. We need to be able to tell you if everybody else is saying to you, Jeff, this guy is blue, we need to fact check that this guy is blue and let you know if it's blue or not.
Mm.
And so, and I think for me, that's if you look at the information overload that everybody has, our unique role as journalists is really to build credibility, to do the fact checking that we need to be able to do. And it's hard work. It's hard work. We don't always get it right. But I think what we are trying to do is really ensure that we build up that muscle to be able to help you as our audience understand your world and understand exactly what is happening.
It has become so much more difficult to find out if something is true or not, because the way fake news comes in these days, it's battered with a lot of stuff that is likely and true, and it must waste more time for you guys that are out there to sift through what is real and what isn't.
And that's exactly what we should be doing. So, it's time, and it should be time well spent. because that's the service that we're giving. So there's so much. I mean, you're completely right. There's so much that you don't know if this is true. You don't know, is it AI generated? Is it a, you know, is it a real picture?
It sounds true.
It's laced with a little bit of truth, but you know, if you look at the nuance and some of the facts, you know, they're quite out there and they're not. And I think this is pretty much why I'm saying that, you know, the world needs journalism now, because journalism now has got to be an antidote to disinformation. Journalism now has got to be an antidote to misinformation. And I'm not talking about people who, you know, have different views on things. I'm not talking about that. And of course, we all have different views on things. But I mean, you know, we need to be able to say, fact check whether or not if somebody stands up on a podium and they basically say, well, you can, you know, cure you know, a disease by drinking jerk, we need to be able to tell you if, you know, scientifically, if that is possible or not. And I think these are some of the issues that we need to be grappling with, and particularly because the world is becoming such a complex and very messy place as far as the information ecosystem is concerned.
Yeah, I do remember that person that once said that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the last time I think I interviewed you as a political journalist at Herald, probably around 2018, it was two governments ago in South Africa. Are you happier now about South Africa than you were back then?
Whew. Yeah, that's a tough one. I think so. I'm happy about the fact that South Africans are a lot more engaged in public life, a lot more sort of aware, because I think probably two governments ago, while a lot of things and a lot of bad things were happening in South Africa, you know, the economy is concerned, but also just as far as like infrastructure. But now, I mean, as I sit with you now, there's a problem with water where I live, right? And it's an occurrence,
yeah.
Of our everyday. And the point I'm making is that I'm happy about the fact that we're a lot more engaged. I do wish, though, that not only that, you know, that we take that engagement further and actually make correct decisions about, you know, about our life, about our public life, about who we choose to lead us, and not necessarily just simply you know, populist positions that we take. So things are hard in South Africa, and I think things are getting harder, and I think that's really a product of leadership. But I think, you know, we're getting to a place where people are beginning to understand that with every decision that we make as individuals, as groupings, as communities, there's equally, you know, consequences to what those decisions are.
You've watched as many Springbok matches here and overseas than many both journalists. You love the Springboks. And something happened when you moved up to Johannesburg. The Springboks started winning World Cups. I don't know if that is connected to you. Just taking our eyes away on what that has done for South Africa, the Springboks, that impact. What do you see? I mean, everybody keeps saying that it will unite us. It will unite us. What do you see? I know that a lot more people now are texting me to find out, you know, every Saturday, when is the match? When is the match? But what other impact do you see as has come from the success by the Springboks, whom you love so much?
I absolutely adore them. I really, really do. I, you know, there's my boys. I've met. I think most of the team. I've stayed in hotels, you know, with the team, and it's been really, really exceptional. So I'm a big, big fan, and anyone who knows me will know that. But I think, you know, your question is a very important one. So I, as much as I love the Springboks, right, I'm not one of those people who necessarily believes that the Springboks are the, you know, the kind of the silver bullet to South Africa's transformation issues. No, absolutely not. I think what it is that they're showing us what is potential, what our potential is and what can be done if we're actually willing to do the hard work of being transformative. If we're willing to do the hard work of being transformative in the spaces that we're in the corporate spaces that we're in, where we're actually able to listen to each other and understand what is it, Jeff, that makes you unable to, for example, proceed and succeed in things that you're wanting to do? What are the structural limitations that are placed there because of your race, because of where you come from, because of your gender? And those things are very, very real. So I think the Springboks are really, for me, a symbol of what is possible if there is willingness to actually grapple with the issues of inequality in South Africa, to actually grapple with the issues of just us being, you know, a structurally unequal place and a structurally kind of divisive place. And I don't, I, you know, I think that when I watch the Springboks, of course, I feel warm and fuzzy, and I absolutely celebrate that. But for me, they're really, inspiring hope about what should be done.
Back to you as a role model now, Nwabisa, from the time that you are here in Gqeberha to where you are now. I don't know how many roles you've occupied, each one more important probably than the last one. Is there a set of principles, a set of rules, maybe a set of words that inspire you, that make you keep going up and up in your career?
Sure. Jeff, I don't know if it's a set of principles. So I thank you for that, by the way. I appreciate your appreciation of my journey. I really try. I mean, I work hard. I really, really do. I work hard, not just simply sort of in the organization that I work. I work hard at myself. I work hard at my own self-development. And for me, that's been important, because I think if I am self-aware and I'm, if I'm aware of what I can and what I can't do, where I need help, and and that for me is a first step to really, really kind of getting ahead. So I believe in the concept of hard work, but I also believe in the concept of trying to understand what it is that needs to be done and seeing who are the best people who are able to to do it. I've led the Sowetan for the past four years, and one of the things I've learned there is to say, how do we ensure that we build very, very important partnerships? We will talk about your front pages are great and etc. I have to listen. I've learned to listen to our team to be able to to really capture the pulse of South Africa. I'm not going to know everything, right? And for me, collaborations and partnerships are really, really important, and listening to people. So I work, and I think I have been blessed also with being given opportunities and support in many of the positions that I've held, and it's something that I try to do with people around me as well.
There'll be lots of people from Gqeberha, from Eastern Cape, and just nationally just looking at you and admiring what you've achieved. And we wish you all the best on your new journey, Nwabisa.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.